Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 476. I'm Amy Matheny, and happy July. July. I love July. I say it differently than other people, I think, because I'm from the South, but I love it. I don't know why. Maybe it's because working in the GLBT community for over 15 years, I'm always kind of excited when we get over the hump of gay pride, and I get to go back to just being normally proud, which I am every day. Big news, Anderson Cooper confirms that he is gay, and wow, had we all not known that he was gay? I don't know, but I think it's really interesting. You know, some people are unhappy that he hadn't come out before, and they're saying, you know, he's been so in the closet, and why now? And then other people are saying, hey, it's nobody's effing business, and he's a journalist, which journalists generally try to keep themselves fairly neutral about their lives or their or just about their personal life or their political beliefs. Of course, there's this whole new Aaron Sorkin television show on HBO called The Newsroom that's exactly about that, that kind of box, that wedge of having to be all things to all people and just the news, like just report the news. And this Entertainment Weekly article came out that had on the cover, you know, all the people being out and being gay. And Andrew Sullivan, who writes for the Daily Beast, basically, you know, asked Cooper for an opinion about that. And, you know, Anderson Cooper gave him permission to respond and just said, you know, he was trying to maintain privacy in his life for personal and professional reasons. And he stuck to that for much of his career, that so he could be fair and honest in his work, then his private life shouldn't matter. But he said that, you know, quote, he's been reminded that, quote, that the tide of history only advances when people that make themselves fully visible. There continue to be far too many incidences of bullying of young people, as well as discrimination and violence against people of all ages based on their sexual orientation. And I believe there is value in making clear where I stand. He said he wasn't comfortable, that he wasn't speaking out because he was trying to hide something. He said that's really just not true. And he said, quote, the fact is I'm gay, always have been, always will be, and I couldn't be any more happy, comfortable with myself, and proud. In a perfect world, I don't think it's anyone else's business, but I do think there is value in standing up and being counted. The ability to love another person is one of God's greatest gifts, and I thank God every day for enabling me to give and share love with the people in my life. I still consider myself a reserved person, and I hope this doesn't mean an end to the small amount of personal space. But I do think visibility is important, more important than preserving my reporter's shield of privacy. So a decision has been made. You know, a long time ago, there was that huge article, the cover of which was Jodie Foster and Anderson Cooper, you know, the two people who haven't had to say they were gay, and now one of the two has. Our president is saying same-sex marriage should be legal. The NAACP is saying same-sex marriage should be legal. Tides are turning, folks. It's been a good gay pride month and a good summer for us and a lot of change and a lot of visibility. And so, you know, we're all getting to witness it. Everybody's on their journey, and we are getting to witness everyone's journey as they go through it. And Anderson made certain decisions for a while that he felt were effective. He is speaking to a mainstream public, and I think he didn't really want his outside issue, potentially for some people, of him being gay to affect their receiving the news he needed to be of service to and to report on a nightly basis. But now he has gone more editorial with his own show and the face that he's become for some other causes. So I think it's fantastic that he's come out and said he was gay. As I said, most of us knew he was gay. Most of the press knew he was gay. But, you know, it's even when Rosie O'Donnell came out, I think a lot of people, when she had her television show, and everybody thought, well, everybody knows she's gay. But obviously some middle Americana people didn't know she was gay who watched her show. And so he will be educating some, and he will be definitely tearing down, a ceiling for gay journalists that continues. He and Don Lemon and other people continue to tear down and provide hope and confidence and hopefully courage to young people who look up to him and the career that he's had. That being said, Jerry Nunn is with us today. He is bringing us two interviews. He had the opportunity to talk with some folks, and I was underwater with other things gay the past couple of weeks, so I was so thrilled to be able to include a couple of Jerry's interviews in this show today. First off, he sat down with actor Matt Doyle, Cutie Patootie, who was in the hit film Private Romeo, which was the winner of the Grand Jury Award at Outfest in 2011 in Los Angeles. It was a highly recommended film by the New York Observer and critics pick for the New York Times back in 2011. Well, Private Romeo, the film, has just been released on DVD, and Jerry Nunn is talking to Matt Doyle about his about this film. And also, we are going to have Ann Wilson, one half of the rocker duo, Ann and Nancy Wilson of Heart, were really the gals that rocked my world in the 80s. I knew no one who rocked harder that I enjoyed more than the voice of Ann Wilson. And I am thrilled that she is coming to town. And Jerry Nunn sits down with Ann Wilson right now.
I'm good. How are you?
Great, great. It's good to talk to you. The last time I saw you perform was at Lilith Fair.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's been a while.
Yeah.
You really sang your heart out. I mean, you were amazing.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. I put a lot into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got an amazing picture of you, you know, just belting it out, so. And that must really show what a big gay following, you know, the band has.
That's really great, you know, like, I just I don't know what to say. I mean, like, it's so amazing to me to get to reach out to everybody,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course.
That's the soul connection is what matters with me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's being received, you know, loud and clear. That's really good.
Yeah. You actually worked with a lot of gay icons on your solo album with, like, Elton John and Katie Lang and Rufus Wainwright.
Yeah.
So
both amazing people. I mean, very different, of course. You know, Elton is so generous and so funny and sweet, you know, but you don't want to cross him.
And you've just really paved the way, you know, for women singers in the music business and all of that. I mean, you guys were starting, it probably wasn't easy to do at the beginning.
Yeah, when we first went into it, you know, there really wasn't any any precedent for what we were doing. I mean, there weren't any rules that anyone could say, well, you got to do this and not do this. I mean, they just went, we just put ourselves out there and kind of took the ride.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it doesn't have to be rock. It could, you look back farther and you look at people like Judy Garland and Billie Holiday and stuff, and they really did some work, you know.
Yeah.
But rock, you know, it's so fucking male dominated and so patriarchal, and it just made it really, really interesting to try and break through some of that stuff.
Sure.
And I don't think we ever will completely have changed it, but if we've made any progress at all toward things opening up a little bit, I think that's good.
Did you think you would be doing this, you know, this many decades later?
No way.
Right.
You know, like, we've never been really, like, coldly calculating or goal-oriented, really. I think we just thought, well, God, we have this cool song. It sure be fun to go in a recording studio. And then, you know, we're kind of nerdy and dorky at first. And then we get to go up on the stages and really connect with people. So the years have led us on with their momentum and with us being able to keep on connecting with people creatively, and most importantly with each other, because Nance and I really wouldn't be doing this with Heart, with, like, for instance, I wouldn't do it with somebody else playing guitar, you know, for Heart. It has to be Nancy. The important thing is me and Nancy's relationship.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Do you, you know, how is it being with your sister all this time? I mean, I can't imagine touring with my brother. It'd drive me crazy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like, we're sisters, so so, you know, we know each other so well and so thoroughly that we kind of know when to back off from each other and give each other space and breathing room. And the thing about the industry, about success, I would think, is that it does tend to come and put expectations on you. So Nance and I tend to rebel against that all the time. We get to be rebels together against those expectations a lot. She's just an amazing person. I mean, she's kind and beautiful and sweet and pure and real. But, you know, like I said about Elton, you just don't want to get on her bad side, because she can really be, she's like our mom. She just made out of steel. And when she makes up her mind about something, get out of the fucking way, you know?
Do you guys do it on a tour bus, or are you usually on a tour bus, or how do you do it these days?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, it's like during the 80s, you know, during the big, you know, MTV 80s, we used to travel around on a private jet and everything, but, you know, you make $100 and you pay 60 of it on the plane, so... So it's much cooler to be on a tour bus, you know, the way they make them now.
Mm-hmm.
You just make it be your home. It's just as good as or better than a hotel room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Dolly Parton told me. She said her tour bus is her little home.
Well, she ought to know. She's a tour bus aficionado. She's got some amazing buses.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, are you playing, is this promoting the last album, Red Velvet Car? You're playing songs from that? And
well, this year, you know, we have this new box set coming out in June.
Oh, okay, tell me.
That's all, you know, rarities and stuff. And then we have our first ever memoir biography coming out in September. And then we have a new record coming out in October. So we're going to be playing stuff from the very beginning, all the way up to the brand new stuff from our record, which is called Fanatic. So, you know, we're going to be out talking this year and doing shows. We're going to be talking because of our book, and you know, a lot of revelations coming out of this book that are going to be cool for people that have known us, who thought they'd known us for all these years, to read. You know?
Did you write it together?
Yeah.
Okay.
We wrote it together with a guy named Charles Cross,
okay,
who's from Seattle.
Nice. Okay. That sounds juicy.
Yeah, it's a good rock story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Super highs, super lows, vulnerability, triumph, love.
Nice. So this is a good opportunity for fans to meet you on the book tour and all that.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm excited about that. Is the new album going to be, you know, a rock and roll album, or are you trying different things?
This, the new album is, it's very heavy.
Okay.
It's heavy rock. It's 10 songs, and 3 of the songs, I would say, are either what you call ballads or not rock. I mean, it's very down. Like I said, it's called Fanatic. It's got opinion. It's got passion. I'm really happy with it. I think it's really vital. I think, you know, me and Nancy, as songwriters, are wide open on this one.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Are you playing the flute on this tour? Can I ask?
Yes, I do play a little. Yes.
Okay. Nice. I tried that instrument. Not very easy.
Oh, that's a little... Yeah. It's probably not as hard as something like a violin, or but you know, to have it sound good, it's a little tricky.
Well, it's about controlled breathing and all that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're singing rock and roll, like a big old rock and roll song, and it's 100 degrees out, and then all of a sudden the next song comes and you have to pick up the flute and be really tender, that can be tricky.
How do you take care of your voice all this time? I know it must be... What do you do to take care of it?
Oh, my God, I've been so lucky. I knock on wood. But, you know, I basically... It's about lifestyle, I think. And I don't smoke or drink alcohol. And I don't really... I haven't as yet have had serious problems. But the times I've gotten sick, you know, when you get a bad cold or a cough or something, there's nothing anybody can do about that. But just, I just try to be, to have common sense about it. You know, you don't go around screaming.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing 4 shows in a row in 4 days, you have to be careful about how much you talk between the shows. Just stuff like that, you know, that everybody would know.
Well, be careful in that casino at the venue, because they do smoke in there.
Yeah, I know, and that pisses me off, because...
Mm-hmm.
I have no defense against that.
I know, it's Indiana. So I hope I get to meet you face to face. I'd love to do that, you know, after the show or something. Or,
right, yeah. You know, well,
I don't know how to ask for or whatever, but.
Yeah. Just if we're doing some kind of a meet and greet, I'm not sure about that show yet, but.
Okay.
It'd be cool to say hi.
I would love that. Okay. Well, it has been a pleasure to talk to you, Anne. I just, I really, you know, respect your voice and music and what you've done. And,
Oh, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
And I look forward to seeing you at the show.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, if you want to see Hart and see Anne Wilson, hear her sing, watch Nancy Wilson. She is a fantastic guitarist. Watch her play. They are getting crazy on you at the venue in Hammond, Indiana, 777 Casino Center Drive on July 6th at 8 o'clock. You can visit horseshoehammond.com for tickets and details, but run, don't walk to get those tickets, folks, because it's this week. So depending on when you're hearing this Queercast, hopefully you can still get it. If you're listening in another city, they're on tour, so check them out. Look up Hart and see if they might be coming to a tour in a city and a town near you. Now, let's tell you what's going on in the gay news. And also, Richard Knight Jr. has a review of Magic Mike. I got to tell you, it's on my schedule this week. I'm going with some of my straight gal pals to go see Magic Mike. And it was my idea, seriously. Like, I don't know. I'm such a bad lesbian sometimes. Or maybe I'm just a really good lesbian friend of straight women. But I'm actually really excited. Like, I mean, the guy from True Blood, the werewolf, Joe, I love him. I am so excited to see him. And, you know, I don't know. I got a soft spot for Matthew McConaughey. I really do. And it has nothing to do with him starring with Jodie Foster in Contact, which I thought they had no chemistry. And I would have liked to have had chemistry with either of them because I think mine would have been better. But I'm super excited to see Magic Mike. So I'm really hoping that Richard Knight Jr. likes it. But if he doesn't, I'm still going to like it anyhow. And I'm going to report back to you about it next week. I just feel certain it can do no wrong. If those guys dance around and look the way they do, I don't care. I'm a lesbian woman, but I'm a red-blooded lesbian American woman, but I think I'm going to like it. Let's see what Richard thinks.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News.
The U.S. Supreme Court upheld the central provision of health care reform legislation on June 28th by a vote of 5-4, keeping intact the law that improves access for LGBT individuals. Leading LGBT activists praised the decision.
In Texas, police have released a description of the suspect who shot a teen lesbian couple in the city of Portland, killing one. Molly Judith Olgen, 19, and Mary Christine Chapa, 18, were both shot in the head at Violet Andrews Park on June 22nd. Olgen died at the scene while Chapa is recovering. The suspect has been described as a white male in his 20s with dark hair, standing 5 feet 8 inches tall and weighing about 140 pounds. Authorities say there is no evidence the attack was a hate crime.
District of Columbia Mayor Vincent Gray signed into law one of the most robust anti-bullying bills in the nation. The law requires every agency in the district to have anti-bullying policies, enumerates categories for protection, including sexual orientation and gender identity, and establishes a task force to address bullying and intimidation.
The National Council of La Raza, the country's largest Latino civil rights organization, unanimously passed a resolution in support of marriage equality. There was very little opposition to the vote, which came less than a month after the NAACP passed a similar measure following President Obama's statement of support for same-sex marriage.
Mary Cheney, daughter of former Vice President Dick Cheney, has married longtime partner Heather Poe. They were legally married in D.C. 20 years to the day after their first date.
Many of the nation's top LGBTQ sports leaders joined Nike representatives at that company's world headquarters in Oregon for the first ever Nike LGBT Sports Summit to combat bullying and anti-LGBTQ bias and discrimination in sports. OutSports co-founder Sid Ziegler began developing the summit last year.
The New York City Council voted to retain the Ali Forney Center, Runaway and Homeless Youth Services, funding at 2011 levels. The funding maintains 250 beds for 3,800 homeless youths. Mayor Michael Bloomberg's budget would have cut Runaway Homeless Youth Services funding by $7 million.
Lisa Winters, the former executive director of Bronx Community Pride, was arrested for possibly embezzling $338,000 from the LGBT Resource Center during her 6 years there. Winters was charged with grand larceny and falsifying business records. Winters was let go in 2010 when it was suspected she was embezzling money.
In Tennessee, Knoxville Mayor Madeline Rogero talked about the state's now-dead Don't Say Gay bill at her city's Gay Pride celebration, saying, "We are building a culture of respect for each other, a culture of openness, a culture of participation, a culture of inclusion, and most importantly, a culture of confidence in who we are and optimism in what we can be. In our city hall, it's okay to say gay." She is the first Knoxville mayor to walk Gay Street, where the city's Pride Fest parade took place.
More than 350 service members were present as the Pentagon marked Pride Month for the first time ever. Attendees watched videotape messages from President Obama and Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta.
A military report revealed that U.S. Navy official Charles Barry was removed from his post aboard the USS Florida because he failed to take action against gay hazing. Barry allegedly failed to take action against the hazing of a sailor who was harassed after he reported an attempted rape.
In New York City, a jury found Devon Robinson, a gay man, guilty of second-degree manslaughter in the 2009 killing of Edgar Mercado, another gay man. Robinson, 25, who can get up to 15 years in prison, claimed Mercado died while they were engaged in erotic asphyxiation as part of sex.
Out-gay attorney Sean Patrick Maloney has won the Democratic nomination for the 18th District U.S. House seat in New York's Lower Hudson Valley. Maloney was first deputy secretary for Governors Eliot Spitzer and David Paterson. If he wins, he would be the first out-gay member of Congress from New York State.
In world news, in Germany, a court rejected the asylum application of Samira Ghorbani Danesh, an Iranian lesbian refugee who fled Iran in 2009. The court said Samira, who won an extension of stay until the case is fully litigated, can hide her homosexuality in Iran and avoid criminal penalties. According to Iran's Sharia system, the death penalty is applicable for same-sex sexual activities.
Gad Beck, the last known gay Jewish survivor of the Holocaust, died June 24th in a German senior citizen's home at the age of 88. The gay activist is reported to have once worn a Hitler Youth uniform to rescue then-lover Manfred Lewin from a deportation center. He is reportedly survived by his partner of 35 years, Julius Laufer.
In Chile, Santiago's 12th annual Pride Parade had 80,000 attendees. British Ambassador John Benjamin attended, reading a letter of support for Pride and LGBT rights on behalf of the European Union. Also, the march commemorated the death of Daniel Zamudio, a young man who was murdered by neo-Nazis due to his sexuality.
Speaking of Pride parades, an event in Berlin, Germany, drew 700,000 people. Berlin Mayor Klaus Wowereit, who is openly gay, kicked off the parade, which marks its 34th anniversary. The treatment of LGBT people in Russia was a hot topic at the event. And the country of Laos recently held its first gay pride event. Approximately 100 LGBT people gathered on a U.S. embassy sports field in the capital.
In entertainment news, Lifetime has picked up Mark Cherry's pilot, Devious Maids. The project was originally developed for ABC. Devious Maids, which stars Ana Ortiz of Ugly Betty fame and Susan Lucci, of course, from All My Children, is scheduled to launch on Lifetime in 2013.
Singer and breast cancer survivor Olivia Newton-John was the guest of honor at the media opening of the Olivia Newton-John Cancer and Wellness Center in Melbourne, Australia. The center will open to its first patients on July 2nd.
A film that's generating some buzz is The Standbys, a documentary that follows Broadway performers through their professional and private lives. Stars featured are Zachary Quinto, Daniel Radcliffe, Phoebe Newworth, Jonathan Groff, and Katie Huffman. And apparently the romance between Glee star Jonathan Groff and Star Trek actor Zachary Quinto is getting serious. How can we tell, you asked? They're sharing clothes. They've both been photographed on different days wearing the same rainbow-striped T-shirt.
Financial wizard Susie Orman dedicated a recent episode of The Susie Orman Show to discussing marriage equality. Orman said, "Here I sit in front of you, a 61-year-old woman who has been gay my entire life, who has been in a committed relationship for the past 12 years, and I will die in this relationship, a woman who pays more taxes than most, that is, a contributing member to the economy in more ways than most, yet I am not treated equally."
Cyndi Lauper has released Sex is in the Heel, a remixed selection from the upcoming musical Kinky Boots. The track is available for free download at kinkybootsthemusical.com. Kinky Boots, the new musical that brings together four-time Tony winner Harvey Fierstein, who wrote the book, and Grammy winner Lauper, music and lyrics, will have its pre-Broadway world premiere in Chicago this fall.
Jennifer Hudson is joining the NBC musical drama Smash in its second season. Hudson won a Best Supporting Actress Oscar for her role as Effie White in Dreamgirls, the movie.
There is more trouble for John Travolta. Former Royal Caribbean cruise room attendant Fabian Zanzi has filed a federal lawsuit claiming that, in 2009, the Pulp Fiction actor stripped off a robe and pushed against him. Zanzi also claims that Travolta then offered him $12,000 to keep quiet. Zanzi is seeking unspecified damages for assault and battery, as well as emotional distress.
Kristen Chenoweth is moving from a church to a law firm. The star of the canceled show GCB will match wits with Juliana Margulies on the CBS show The Good Wife, which will also have openly gay actor Nathan Lane guest starring. She will make her first appearance in the season premiere.
Andy South, a contestant during the 8th season of the Lifetime show Project Runway, is now living as a woman named Nong. South, the 25-year-old Hawaii native, now identifies as female.
Bisexual actress Amber Heard of TV short-lived The Playboy Club and the movie Zombieland is now dating superstar Johnny Depp. The two initially worked together on the movie The Rum Diary in 2009.
Superstar Cher is writing a Broadway-bound musical about her life that will feature herself and two other actresses in the title role. A young performer will portray the singer from before she met Sonny Bono through the Sonny and Cher years. A second will follow her career from 1977 through the 1999 Believe tour, and Cher herself will play a wise character. Looking back, Cher has won an Oscar, Emmy, Grammy, and Golden Globe Awards, but has never snared a Tony. And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you, so go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Let's go to the movies anyway and see.
I'm Richard Knight Jr., and here's your Night at the Movies Minute. Over 30 years after For Ladies Only, the infamous TV movie which starred Gregory Harrison as a male stripper, we now have Magic Mike to go along with it. Based on the personal experiences of rising Hollywood heartthrob Channing Tatum, director Steven Soderbergh's film certainly delivers on its promise to titillate. With Tatum joined by fellow beefcake the likes of Alec Pettyfer, Matthew McConaughey, the openly gay Matt Bomer, Adam Rodriguez, and Joe Manganiello all prancing around in thongs displaying their shapely wares for close to 2 hours, how could it not? However, other than being a good reason for a cold shower and R-rated raunchier situations, oh yes, there are lots and lots of butt shots and a few full frontal glimpses, and plenty of salty language, there's not much difference between the showgirl on steroids of 2012's Magic Mike and the tamer, but in many ways just as hot to trot, For Ladies Only of 1981. Both movies feature a lead character whose sojourn into stripping has caused for a lot of soul-searching before, during, and after the clothes come off. A lot of time has passed, but audiences still seem to crave the same old song and lap dance. This isn't to say that Magic Mike isn't fairly entertaining. It is, but in the very basic, very familiar ways I've been describing. And Tatum is a charming leading man, filled with bravado, hard-to-resist confidence, and of course, there's that muscular torso of his. He's matched in the acting department by Cody Horn as the tough-cookie sister of Pettyfer, as Tatum's protege in the business. But let's face it, the real stars here, of course, are those heavenly male bodies. Not surprisingly, Magic Mike has the same message for gay men as it does for the ladies. And yeah, it's the same one we've been teased with forever. Go ahead and look and fantasize all you want, but don't even think about touching. And you better be prepared to pay for even that privilege. I'm Richard Knight Jr., and that's your Night at the Movies Minute.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 2nd, 2012, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Main Stage in Rogers Park presents 80s new wave artist Howard Jones performing albums Dream Into Action and Humans Lib back-to-back on July 10th. And don't miss Queer as Folk cast member Hal Sparks in 5 stand-up shows September 6th, 7th, and 8th. For tickets, go to mainstage.com. That's M-A-Y-N-E stage.com.
Don't miss Immediate Family, a new American play written by Paul Oakley Stovall and directed by Tony Award winner Felicia Rashad. Modern family meets soul food in Immediate Family, a funny, heartwarming show set in Chicago's Hyde Park. Immediate Family is playing now through August 5th at Goodman Theater. Visit ImmediateFamilyPlay.com.
Oedipus El Rey is a sexy, modern Latino take on the Oedipus story. There are $15 tickets available for previews now through July 8th. You can use the code word WINDY at victorygardens.org. Oedipus El Rey runs through July 29th at Victory Gardens Theater.
Don't miss the most anticipated new musical of the summer. Eastland tells the true Chicago story of the passengers on the ill-fated boat that capsized on the Chicago River in 1915. Unforgettable melodies and soaring harmonies give voice to the victims and heroes of that fateful day. For tickets to Eastland, go to lookingglasstheater.org, playing now through July 29th. And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Hey, this is Jennifer Hudson, and you listen to the Windy City Clearcast.
So as I said earlier, Matt Doyle is the cute hunky actor of Private Romeo, which has just been released on DVD. Jerry Nunn sits down to talk with him about the film and about his career.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hi. Good. How are you?
I Twittered you to say hello. I don't know if you can. So I was wondering about, have you done a lot of Shakespeare before this movie?
Yes, actually. I went to school for classical theater. I actually went to Lambda, which is a really, really wonderful school in the UK. Uh-huh. And I studied classical theater. It was a graduate program that I went to straight out of high school. I actually ended up skipping out on Carnegie Mellon and decided to go straight to a graduate program out there, and then came back here and started working. So I never made it to university, but I did do a program strictly dedicated to classical theater. And I actually, when I came back to New York, that was my intention, was to work mainly in classical theater, because I was surrounded in previous to that, I had been in a city where that was possible to create a career out of classical theater still. But then I got back to New York and I realized that there's not as many classical theater companies as there are in the UK.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually ended up falling into musical theater and didn't really get to explore it until I did Private Romeo.
Hmm. Wow. Well, is this the first gay, Romeo and Juliet show? I mean, I can't think of one. Have they done it before?
It's certainly the first filmed one. Mm-hmm. There was a wonderful show off Broadway that this piece was kind of inspired by, called Shakespeare's R&J, and it was a similar setting. It took place in an all-boys academy, and it was the text flipped on its head like that. So, 10 years later, I think our director definitely had that piece in mind when he was exploring his piece, but, it's a very, very different piece than that play. It was really wonderful to see when the text flips and it's perfect, and also when we have to speak it and create a little bit more metaphorical, scene. But honestly, it was just so much fun to play with this text and try and put it into the context of our setting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it seemed like it worked well, though, in the military academy, right?
Yes. No, it was really, because we were able to kind of put instead of the fear of the feuding families, you've got the fear of, being in that kind of a setting and the expectations and the authority looming over us the entire time.
Uh-huh. And there was the hazing and bullying going on too, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely really just inspired by Alan had watched all of these YouTube videos of military academy hazings and everything. He sends a bunch of them to us, and they're not even necessarily out of hatred, as they are kind of out of, this camaraderie there. If uh-huh. somebody screws up in a military academy, a lot of the times that's what the guys do, to each uh-huh. other. And so it is a scene that's meant to be taken as bullying and hazing, but at the same time, it is the norm in an academy like that. It's uh-huh. expected, uh-huh. And so it's something that uh-huh. I think my character Glenn is faced with, but also almost nearly expects out of the fact that, he just kissed a boy in uh-huh. front of all the other guys the night before,
Uh-huh. Were you picked on or anything when you were younger?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm a big campaigner for Age Gets Better and all of these bullying campaigns. Actually, a couple of years ago, I wrote a blog on bullying that ended up, getting out there and getting a lot of exposure. And honestly, I was just walking down the street and I witnessed a moment on the street between a few kids bullying another boy, and it just brought up a lot of feelings in me, because when I was a kid, I was very, very badly verbally and physically abused in middle school, and it was terrible. It was an absolute nightmare, and I was suicidal as a result, and honestly, you know, I probably wouldn't be here if it weren't for theater and just finding a community and discovering happiness. And you know, now I look back on all of that, and I can't believe that, you know, I was in that place, because things are wonderful now, you know.
I'm working
and happy and doing what I love, you know. So I'm thrilled.
Awesome. Are you openly gay? I just want to know.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Just want to make sure that was okay to put in there. You played gay on Gossip Girl, right?
I did play gay on Gossip Girl. Yeah, you know, I honestly have worked with you very constantly by playing all of these gay roles. So as much as other people feel like you can't really make a career as an openly gay man, and I just think that that's so archaic and silly to think that way, because not only are there a bunch of wonderful gay roles out there that I've played many, Hunchin on Broadway and Spring Awakening, and Jonathan on Gossip Girl, and, you know, and then doing Private Romeo, I'm thrilled that the role is gay, and I'm thrilled that the role is straight, and I really think that perceptions are changing, and there's really no reason to hide.
Amen. I love it. You did Spring Awakening. Are you a big Glee watcher? What do you think about Lea Michele?
I am a Glee watcher. Yeah, I mean, half of my friends are on that show, so I gotta watch it sometimes. I'm not, you know, diehard. I don't tune in every week. I certainly have caught several episodes over the past few seasons, and you know, they're all so talented, and it's a fantastic show. And honestly, I couldn't be more thrilled that there's a huge network hit promoting the kinds of things that show promotes, acceptance and, you know, celebrating the arts. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And so you did War Horse.
Yes. Yeah.
And then that show's coming to Chicago in December, so I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, it's incredible. The puppetry is absolutely mind-blowing.
Yeah, they actually brought the horse in early, and I got to meet the horse and everything.
Oh, fantastic. Joey.
Yeah, Joey. Yeah, and the producer was really cool. He was really great. Let's talk about your music real quick, too. I listened to some of it, you know, online and everything. So you have a new EP coming out. Is it this month it's coming out?
I do, yes. Mm-hmm. We're really excited about this one. It's a bit quieter and a bit more folky in its delivery. The first one is very, very, very soul and retro inspired, and we stuck to that because we thought, okay, if we're going to do this, then let's do it as genuine as possible. And we actually went down to Nashville and recorded the first one down there. Mm-hmm. And this time we ended up just working with some of our closest friends and musicians that we've worked with in the Broadway community. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot quieter in its delivery, a lot more acoustic, and we're really, really excited about this one. It's definitely still got a lot of the soul inspiration that we were approaching on the first one, but you know, it's a bit more contemporary this time.
Nice. When are you coming to Chicago?
I would love to come to Chicago. I actually had a job that might have taken me out there, but so there's been a couple offers over the past couple of years that almost took me out to Chicago. I'm just waiting for the right one, but actually one of my best friends from high school is out there, and you know, you guys are doing great things out there. I think John Groff is shooting a new, I think it was a Star show out there right now, so lots of my friends are working out there now.
Great. Well, anything else you want to say about the movie, or I think it won an Outcast award.
Yeah, I think that it's a fantastic film. I think Alan Brown's vision is absolutely wonderful, and his direction is so clear and apparent in it, and it's absolutely heartbreaking and beautiful, and I think if you've ever experienced that wild teenage love, you're really going to be affected by this, and it's really well delivered. I cannot say enough good things about my fellow actors on that project. I was just blown away by the work. Everybody is really, really exceptional with the text.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and are you going to be in some more movies coming up?
nothing to announce yet, but I have I'm doing a new musical. I wish I could announce it. They haven't, made the official announcement. But I am doing a new musical that starts out of town in the fall and actually will go to Broadway in the spring.
Oh, perfect. So people can, you have a website people can go to and keep up with you? Twitter?
Yes, mattdoylemusic.com is the website to use.
Okay, and I'll keep following on Twitter.
Great, thank you so much.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY.
Well, everybody, go pick up Private Romeo. Might be just a great gift. Might be an early birthday gift or an early Christmas gift for that special someone that you love. Well, everybody, I hope you have a great, great week. Traveling the month of July, good time to do it. I'm going to be doing some of that, and I'll tell you all about it. Mitchell Fain on the show with me next time. Promise to give you my review of Magic Mike and what all the straight ladies thought about it. And also, so many more things coming up. Miss Cleo going to be back on the show. We're going to have our Windy City Gay Idol, who you're going to get to meet, Robert Hughes. The Chicago Force Women won another game, and they're duking it out this weekend in the playoffs on July 7th, this Saturday. Hopefully they can keep this streak going. We're thinking about you, gals. Hit them hard and stomp them. And I hope you all enjoy a little more of July. Happy 4th, everybody. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now. Try to understand. He's a magic man.